The band for that. Thank you. Let's just wait a minute in silence, will we? Jesus is amazing and he's here. So Holy Spirit, we welcome you. Jesus, we thank you, and Father, we honor you. What a privilege to know you. You're not just a meal ticket to heaven, but you open up our lives, Lord, just as we sang there and we sang over those who don't know you. We ask tonight, Lord, that you will release, Lord, the conviction of the Holy Spirit, Lord, into the streets that we represent, the people will be convinced of their sin, Lord, and their need of a Saviour. And so, Father, I ask, Lord, that anything that I say that comes from me will just fall to the ground, that what comes from you, Father, will bear fruit in life. So I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. It's good to see everybody. It's great. There's people sitting up at the back as well. Hi there. I want to know who you are. So, in the silhouette, you know something. I've been called. I've got. No, I'll tell you what we'll do first. Let's read from Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 15. And then you see, when I've read this, at least you'll have something decent. Verse 15. For this reason, ever since I heard about your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all God's people, I've not stopped giving thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers. I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation so that you may know him better. And I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms. Isn't that amazing? Isn't it great? The tomb is empty. We don't have hope just because Jesus died. If he was still on the cross, we'd have no hope. We have hope because of the resurrection. Amazing, isn't it? It's far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every name that is invoked, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. Amen. When Hugh asked me to, what would I speak on, I said sight, which was fine until I started to think about it. Then I thought, what will I say? And Hugh, this has really challenged me. This whole thing has challenged me personally. It's challenged my lack of spiritual sight. It's challenged my everyday belief that I live in that's put a ceiling on my experience of God. And it's exposed my laziness in this whole area of sight. Ephesians 1:18, there we read, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he's called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. The only thing that makes us victorious, apart from the Holy Spirit and everything else, but we need revelation from God. We can only worship him to the extent of he's been revealed to us. We can only live for him to the extent that we have revelation. And that's an ongoing thing. See, Paul is the main apostle. He's the person that we know, the apostle we know most about and read most about in the Bible. But he didn't spend 3 years with Jesus, but he was a man of revelation. He says this in Galatians 1. He says, I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preach is not of human origin. I didn't receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Right at the very beginning, the whole gospel and God's will and all the stuff about God, that's very theological, isn't it? Stuff about God. And it's came from Jesus himself. You see, when he was converted to run for his life, remember he was let down the rope down in the window. They wanted to kill him in Damascus. And he went to the desert. And God completely changed him. Here was this man who thought he was doing God's will by killing people, Christians, and by putting them in prison. And God in that time got rid of the rubbish and he put in incredible revelations, one after the other. And possibly, we don't know, that might be the time when Jesus taught him about communion, as we read in 1 Corinthians. So Paul, because he was a man of revelation and understood the whole extent of revelation, the whole mind-boggling thing, when his mind totally was changed, his heart was changed, his whole being was changed, the purpose of his life was changed by the revelation of Jesus, starting when he appeared to him physically on the road to Damascus. Do you know Jesus is still appearing to people just now, all over the world? In Muslim camps, Jesus is turning up. Did you know that? Jesus Christ physically is turning up. I heard of one man who said, He's a Christian, he's working in one of the camps, I think it was in Jordan. And he went to he didn't lock the door because they didn't have one, but he probably just rattled the tent flap. They opened it up and he said, "Hello, my name's Hugh, for example, because you're topical. My name's Hugh," and as soon as he said that, they went mad. They just started jumping and shouting, and it went on and on and on and on. And he thought, when they settled down, he said, what's happening? They said, "Yesterday, a man in white came to our tent. And he said, 'I'm Jesus Christ, and tomorrow I'm going to send a man called Hugh to tell you all about me.'" And there's story upon story upon story about Jesus. How can he do it? Because he's alive, that's why. A friend of mine, a real Yorkshireman, who really calls a spade, heads up missions, did it in Elam, and he had friends who Jesus would come and sit beside them in Muslim countries and explain the Bible to them. Incredible. Absolutely incredible. See, it's beyond all we ask or think. Beyond all we ask or think. And for Paul to have this, he needed, because he had this revelation, because he understood so much, he wanted the Ephesians and us to have a revelation upon revelation from the glorious Father, not just to have a revelation, but in order to live out that revelation, because the eyes of our hearts will be enlightened by the Holy Spirit. So God lets us see things in visions. He lets us see things in pictures. He lets us see things in dreams. Who here have had dreams from God? Well done. And God is speaking to us in all different ways. In 2 Kings chapter 6, the king of Aram was coming against Israel all the time. And the problem was that for him was that Elisha the prophet was in Israel and had the ear of the king. He was his spiritual advisor. And every time that the king of Aram decided to go somewhere and made plans, God told the prophet what was going to happen, and he would tell the king of Israel, "This is what's going to happen." So every plan he had was thwarted, and he thought, "I'm going to kill him." He says, "He even knows what I'm saying in my bedroom." And so they went to get him. And so there was this huge army round about. They found out where he stayed, and this huge army were waiting for him. And Elisha goes out the door with his servant, and his servant panics. It says, "When the servant of the Son of Man got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. 'Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked. 'Don't be afraid,' the prophet answered. 'Those who are with us are more than those who are with them.'" Isn't that an encouraging word? But God did more. Elisha prayed, "Lord, open his eyes so that he may see." Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. Could you imagine? They were there all the time, but he hadn't seen them to that point. You see, the servant understood at that moment in time what God's intention was, and I'm sure his faith level went through the roof that day. And God wants to open eyes to the invisible. "Open up my eyes to the things unseen," we sing. And we pass that, we'll just go through a bit. God wants to open eyes to what's going on in the invisible world. But the church has been so scared of getting involved in that because we're scared of becoming spiritualists, aren't we? For goodness sake, Balaam's donkey saw an angel. How much more the children of God? You see, all over the world, Christians believe in angels until someone sees one. Then they don't believe the person. He was saying, I know there are angels all around, and there are angels here tonight, and maybe before we go, someone will be able to see them. God wants to open up our eyes to see what's going on in the spiritual realm. I remember there was one night, I worked with a man called John Seaman for 11 years. He was a father to me, and some of you know him. When we came together, we decided we'll have no one come to preach unless the two of us agree. Well, one time we did have someone, we didn't necessarily both agree to it. And this woman came and we sang, I know there are angels all around. And she went on, right, we're not going out here until everyone sees an angel. It was so embarrassing. You felt like putting your hand up just to get home for your tea. I mean, by the time I did it, it was about Wednesday. After Sunday. Honestly, it was awful. That God wants to open up eyes. That's what this is about. So we can see what goes on in the spiritual world. You see, we're ignorant of the devil's schemes, aren't we? I am sometimes. Sometimes it'd be weeks before you leave it. But this is the enemy. Whereas if you could see what a difference that would make. Maybe people here have had experiences of evil spirits. There was a lady once I was asked to go and pray with. And she told me when she was a baby, she remembers in her cot, there was a wee gnome standing beside, it was in the form of a female gnome standing beside her cot, dressed like in Victorian clothes, with a bonnet, and the bow was down here. She remembered every single aspect of it. That challenges me. Or the ex-spiritualist I knew who was whatever they do in a spiritualist church, I'll say ministering, just in case you think, she was ministering. She was ministering to the congregation and to a woman who'd lost her husband. And this friend of mine saw the dead woman's husband standing beside her. There was a demon in the form of the husband, but that challenges me as a son of God. Or you read about I remember hearing about another ex-Satanist who... in America, and this elderly couple were bringing so many people who were in the coven to Jesus that the coven decided we're going to murder these people, so made themselves invisible. And as they came nearer to the house, they suddenly realized, wait a minute, these huge beings, the angelic beings, were there. And this man realized there's a power more powerful than Satan, and he gave his life to Jesus. That inspires me and challenges me. Or David Livingstone, who is one of the forgotten heroes of Scotland and of the whole nation. Do you know, he was so popular that when he went out into the streets in London, he was absolutely mobbed wherever he went. These people inspire me, I don't know about you. And so one time some warriors came to kill him and his friends, and he's writing his diary. They say that you could see the fear in his handwriting. And then all of a sudden he starts to write faith and nothing happens. They all disappear. A wee while later, he's talking to one of the warriors. He says, why didn't you come to us? Why didn't you really kill us? They said, well, when we came to your place, we saw 47 warriors with swords, big warriors with swords. It was angels. That's encouraging, isn't it? He comes home to Scotland, and I think it was a church in Hamilton, a wee church in Hamilton. It was his home church, and he's telling the story. And a man in the church says, when was that? And he told them the date. He said, wait a wee minute. And he goes away, and he brings out his diary. He said, that night, there were 47 men praying for you, the same number of angels. Go back and tell the people who will not come to the prayer meeting that story. See, we need to realize our prayers have got effect, no matter how we feel. It's not how we pray, it's who we pray to. And that inspires me and it challenges me to understand what God is up to. And this makes me want to know what's going on in the spiritual world. I want to see what God is doing and to know what the enemy's up to so we can deal with him and kick his backside. This has challenged me because I realized that maybe God was doing something in me that, and I missed it. Nearly 40 years ago, which I can't believe I can say that. How did I get here? When I was in my 20s, I was visiting people in the church I was brought up in. It was radical if you said you were saved or born again. But I was baptized in the Spirit the day I joined the church. And I went to see this couple there, and as we're talking, just chit-chatting, all of a sudden I saw, it wasn't a jug, it was more like a sauce boat, a gravy boat, that was shiny, and it was above her head, and oil was being poured down. And I just said, oh, I've just seen a jug above your head with oil being poured down, and then we carried on talking about the weather or something like that. And I thought, that was so clear. I didn't know things then. I think, I saw something. Why didn't I pursue that in my own walk with Jesus? And so, it says here in Hebrews 5:14, it says, solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. Solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish between good and evil. But what it says there in other versions is this, but solid food is for the mature who by constant use have trained their senses to distinguish good and evil. Amazing, isn't it? 14 years ago, a friend in Canada told me that she'd been stuck in her soul and had gone to this conference and she was unstuck. And I knew that the people who had been ministering were coming over to London, and I'd been stuck in my soul for a few years at this time. And I thought, I went to get unstuck, and I did get unstuck. But it was a ministry to encourage people to discern spiritually what's going on. It was a man who'd been a Southern Baptist minister, and supernatural things started to happen to him, and he ended up losing all his friends overnight, he says. And so he wanted to encourage people to know what was going on. I walked to the church it was in, and the rain, just as I'm halfway through the park, the rain came down. The heavens opened, not in a good way, just it was a wet way. And it was just dripping from it. And I went into to the place, and the thing started. And when I was sitting there, I felt this. It wasn't a touch in my head, it was more like that in my head. Twice. And I thought, there's rain coming through the roof. And I looked up, the rain wasn't coming through the roof. There was nothing. It was a new roof that had been put on. And God was actually saying, I'm going to blow your mind here. I'm going to blow your mind. And maybe what I'm going to share is going to blow some minds tonight about it, because we don't think about it. But if it's our senses that God wants us to used to distinguish between good and evil. And so there were some people would see something and some would feel something. Maybe an angelic or a heavenly being would come in and somebody would... I had none of this. I couldn't figure this out at all. But it was a way out there, but I felt really comfortable. I knew God was there. And sometimes God puts us in things to stretch us, and I was stretched in this whole area. And so somebody might feel, this is what I feel, da-da-da-da. And somebody who was able to see said, yeah, that's exactly what I see. People could smell something or would touch something or sense in their spirit a heavenly being had come in. My friend, actually, when she'd gone to this, she was stuck, and there was a heavenly being come in, and they said, hey, go and stand there. And God gave her this, the start of this incredible song. When she came to Paisley, God gave her the rest of the song, and we get into the Abbey and sang with this beautiful, I remember, it was a beautiful soprano voice just filling the whole empty Abbey with this song, but it came from an angel ministering. You see, angels are here to minister to us. They're not just there for Christmas or to shove your Christmas tree up. They're there to minister to us. And I believe that in the church in the last days are going to need angels upon angels upon angels to help us. Something happened in our church not long after this was, I came in one day and a chap called Phil Bain, who's now in New Zealand, he said, "Tom, every time I come into the church, I see a fire at the top, in the front." I said, "Well, that's encouraging, because we all want the fire of God, don't we?" Then, somebody, not long after that, at a prayer meeting, one of these people who doesn't know God's love and believes the lie that God doesn't love them and they're not worthy, they were standing in the outskirts. I said, "Come and stand here." And they stood there and they said, "Oh, I just feel burning. I feel burning down this side. I feel, this is so hot." I said, "That's funny, because Phil Bain saw a fire there." That's encouraging, isn't it? And then two or three people who said to me on Sundays, "I smell fire. I smell a burning." So I thought, okay, this man the discernment man down south, who was in London at the time, he was coming over to London again, and we arranged for him to come up to Paisley, because I wanted to know what was going on here. And one Saturday we got word saying he wasn't able to come because of the visa problems and so on. I made a leader's day that day, and we're in worship, and God said, "Use the fire." I thought, "What does that mean? Use the fire?" So what I did was I sent, and you know when they send canaries down the mines, the canaries, you could always tell, gave the sign there was gas or not. Well, I knew that people who would be a certain way in the spirit, or who God's presence was, I sent them into the fire, and three people. And I said, "Pray what's in your heart," and it was souls, holiness, and worship. And then I started to ask other people who are trusted to come and just stand here. People must have wondered what was going on. "Just come and stand here and see what's going on. See if you feel anything." People I trusted would come and stand there. And then God said, "Open it up to everyone." I didn't see it. I didn't feel it. I didn't smell it. I did trust the people who I've known for a long time who had all these things. But every time I mentioned it for 3 months, I died. I felt stupid. Come to the fire, you can't see. I died. I was scared I was leading people up the garden path, you know, to this whole thing that totally, but I trusted what people had seen. And I felt I really had to put my trust in others at that time. And so I said to people about the fire, I told them what people had felt and so on. I said, "Just come and stand and see what happens." And we got people to write down things that a lot of them felt heat and so on. Again, people I can trust. And I thought, is there maybe an angel in there? I didn't quite understand it. And it took me 3 months before I thought, I'll study this in the Bible about fire. I should have done that 3 months before, then I wouldn't have felt so stupid. And it says here, he says, "He makes angels his spirits, his servants or his angels flames as fire." I thought, there's something about an angel. And Robert, one of the men, said, I was standing there on Sunday, because people would just come and stand, and he said, "I saw an angel." I said, that's amazing. We had an encounter, and an encounter weekend, and with friends, British friends who were in France, came over, and they brought a couple with them who didn't speak any English. And Aileen and I were praying for this man. I said, "Let's go into the fire." And he starts to sweat and saying, eel fish, it's hot. I don't understand it. I'm just telling you what happened. And then one Sunday I saw the same man who'd seen the angel, and he's standing there, worshipping. And I thought, I'll maybe ask if he sees the angel again. And I didn't want to disturb him. But on the Tuesday morning at my small group, my cell group, he says, "I saw the angel again." "Oh, that's interesting." He says, "Well," I said, "what was it like?" He said, "It was like when a car goes past, you know, it goes green to silver, green to blue." He said, "But silver and gold, alternating, and on it were precious stones." And that morning I was speaking on wood, hay, stubble, gold, silver, precious stones. And there was something about the angel being sent, and I don't know why. But the thing is, you see, people were healed. People changed because of it. I came across, just today, actually, We had asked folk to write a report and things that people had seen. People were healed mentally, physically, emotionally, spiritually. One man who used to stand in worship, full of God like this, was so changed he ended up in the worship team. You see, there's more. There is more. If heaven is a church service, who wants to go? It's more. And heaven and earth, he wants to open up our eyes. He wants us to live like that. They wanted to turn the church around. The leadership team wanted, instead of facing that way, they wanted to turn it around so it faced that way. But because the fire was at the front, which was at the side now, I was reluctant for that to happen. I didn't want to lose that, because when God does something, it can be so holy, you don't want to touch it. That's why I pray for your leaders, because they don't want to. The fear of any leader who's worth his salt will have the fear of God in them. And so I kept saying, come on, why don't we change? No. And then in 1 week, three people said to me again, who I trust, he said, I believe God's seeing the fires going. And so that gave me freedom to turn it around. But it started with someone seeing. You see, it started with someone seeing the fire. It started with then somebody feeling it, then somebody smelling it. I don't understand it. But I do know this. I believe that in these last days, the church is going to get weirder, but better. You say, what are you doing, Lord? What is God doing right now? Among us, we can sense it, but wouldn't it be amazing if some people could see it and tell us exactly what's happening? See, maybe God wants to reveal things to us. Maybe in Renfrewshire, he wants to reveal something and release something of discernment. It's called discernment because lack of discernment binds us. And they don't mature fully in the things of the Spirit. No matter what you've done for God, it's nothing compared to what's going to happen in these last days. So he wants us to learn how to work in the Spirit. Maybe there are people here and you've seen things in the Spirit, and you've shared it, and you've been pushed down because folk don't understand it. You know, I know I have input into an encouragement for several pastors, and you know they're telling me about maybe a spiritual battle they've been in, and I can see them scared to talk about it. I said, look, I'm mentally as well, just understand, and because we're scared to talk about these things. God wants to teach us these things and to know these things. And only the hungry will get there. Only the hungry will get there. Only when you come to the place of saying, I'm bored. My life changed when I called out to God one night. My faith's just a hobby. God wants to take us to the place of really we believe what the Word says. So how do we get there? Remember, we're talking about seeing. Well, first of all, we need to know, not just believe, we need to know that we know that God wants to give us discernment to understand the things of the kingdom. To know Him better and to know what He's doing. We need to know that. That's the first thing. We need holiness, not compromise with the world. We have to be in the world, but not of it. At one time, Christians went in the world, never mind of it. But we've been sucked into the Netflix life where we are now in the world and of it. We need to make sure our lives are holy. I remember several years ago hearing, it was a pastor telling the story where his four-year-old boy had this, we talk about an angel coming to see him. And they thought it was really cute because it was a wee invisible friend. And they got fed up hearing about it. So they said to him, okay, ask your angel, said to him, ask your angel if I could see him. So the next day, he comes for his breakfast or whatever, and he says, well, the angel come? Yes, uh-huh. And did you ask him if I could see him? This is a four-year-old. What did he say? He said, tell your dad his eyes have looked on so much evil that he can't see me, but one day he might. Blessed are the pure of heart, because they will see God. Tell your dad that his eyes have looked on so much evil that he can't see me, but that he might one day. That's a challenge, isn't it? So know that he wants to give his discernment of God's presence. Walk in holiness, his holiness, not 2022's holiness. Be intentional. It says they trained their senses in that verse in Hebrews. I haven't exercised that very often. That's why this has challenged me. There was one night I'm saying, Lord, what are you doing? And I saw Jesus. We were in worship. And I saw him go from the front, and he walked across here, and then he went behind me, and I looked to see what he was doing, and he was standing. He went beside, in front of somebody who was sitting. And just before he got there, I saw one of our ladies who'd been talking to the person who went away, moved away from his seat. And I said, did you have a word for so-and-so? And she said, I said, what was it? She said, Jesus is going to visit you. Then just about 4 weeks ago, in our prayer meeting, Kathy is up here. She said, God wants us to start to see and to hear the things of God. That challenged me. I said, that's funny, because I'm speaking in this thing in a few weeks' time. So we're in worship. I said, Lord, what are you doing? And I saw him. He was sitting on a throne in the... There's a girl came out and said, I just think we need to sing in the name of Jesus. So we just sang Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And I saw him sitting on a throne at the front. And then he got off. He had bare feet. Didn't he wear sandals? He's got bare feet. And he walked over this. He seems to like this, but he walked over this way. And I don't know what happened. But the girl who said, I just feel, let's sing his name, Jesus. She was over that bit, and she was on her knees, and she said, I felt a hand go in my head at that point. Jesus wants to touch us. He wants us to know what he's doing. He wants to take us beyond where we're at. He wants to take us out 2D Christianity and take us into 3D Christianity. He wants it to be like the Land of Oz, where it suddenly goes from black and white into colour. He wants to expand our mind. I wonder if we're for it, or are we quite happy in the mud instead of the water? So we've got to know that he wants to give us discernment. It's not just for some people, it's for everyone. It's for everyone, all. The Bible talks so often about all or whoever. He wants to give it for everyone. But our unbelief makes us give up. It's like husbands who don't hear God because they're not as good at it as their wife, and they've given up. They've abdicated that whole thing of hearing God. But you can't be a servant without hearing God. You need to know what he's saying to you. Because you're polishing the piano when he wants the windows cleaned. But we're doing things for Jesus, the work, hallelujah. No, we need to be in that place where we know specifically what he's saying. So we need to know that he wants to give discernment. We need to be holy. We need to be intentional. And then it needs to be a constant thing. Who by constant use or habitually have trained themselves to distinguish their senses, to distinguish between good and evil. It's got to be something that we do intentionally. And also, I would say to you that what I'm sharing can be dangerous. You must be committed to a body of believers, and you must be submitted to spiritual authorities, or you will go into error. If you're somebody who believes you don't need to be committed to a church, you're in error as it stands. Because the safest place on earth is in the place of the body and under good leadership. And lastly, your motive needs to be, you must do it because you want to know God and his kingdom. No eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has conceived what God has prepared for those who love him, but God shows us by the Holy Spirit. Let's pray. Father, we sing songs with great tunes, but really they're incredible words. Open the eyes of my heart. Open my eyes up in wonder, as we sang tonight. Open up my eyes to the things unseen. If you're wanting God to lead, take you into, the Holy Spirit leads us into all truth, into a place of knowing and discerning God's presence and what he's doing. If you're wanting him, do you want just to stand? We leave so much to God. Well, if God wants to do it, he'll do it. No, he says pursue it. He says exercise. Lord, we just wait in your presence just now. You come and cleanse us, Lord, our eyes and our ears, our mouths, our hands, our minds. I ask that the refiner's fire will burn in all our lives. You're preparing the bride who's going to be so spotless, who's going to see you. Will you release us, Father, from our physical bodies, and may we come, Lord, into the place of being able to discern you and your ways. Father, I pray for those who need to hear you say, not through someone else, but you say to them that you love them. I ask, Lord, that the demons assigned to eyes, ears, mouths, and minds will be bound and will go now in Jesus' name. Lord, that Father, you come and deliver us from all evil, and that Father, that we will just know what it is to walk in the light of God, and Lord, know the brightness of your shining, and Lord, know that we're not on our own, but Father, for these spiritual beings that you have sent to help us, and Father, the church right now, in these days, all of the world need the angels to come and minister to us. You see everyone standing. It's a sign, Lord, that we want you. And so, Father, I pray for your church in Renfrewshire, Father, that you will come, Lord, and impart something and take us into a new dimension of living for you, that we will recognize, Lord, what people, spiritual forces, folk are living under, so we can see them set free. We can see, Father, how powerful the angels are. And, Lord, that we will just have confidence and trust in you. In your ways. We ask right now, Lord, you will release angels, Lord, throughout this area, Lord, Father, bringing people to you. Lord, that Father, you will, Lord, come and raise up the dying, Lord Jesus. And Father, they will have an impartation of the life and the power of Jesus. Renew our minds, Father. And so, Lord, I just leave this to you. You're fantastic. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.